Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard that all of life is a negotiation? Tell me about it. Tell me, do you know what the social influence in our world is for sports figures? Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty big. Have you ever wondered why sports figures speak out on political issues and events? Would you like to learn more about why society can learn from the team aspect of sports? Can you imagine sports figures tweeting during a game or during the playoffs? It's unbelievable. Now, have you ever heard about a book called Connected to Goodness? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to connect yourself to goodness? If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to a very special guest. He is a success coach extraordinaire, and he will be providing us with wonderful inspiration and information and some really, really great advice. I am pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. He has been sharing lessons from the billions of dollars in negotiations he has accomplished in the sports world. He is the CEO of Sports One Marketing, a Warren Moon enterprise, and he is the author of Connected to Goodness. He has some strong opinions and advice on what we can do as the world's chief negotiator in this country. Whether you are dealing with personal relationships, business relationships, or international politics, it comes down to negotiation. There is a win-win, but that takes working on a level playing field. And today I would like to welcome to our level playing field, David Meltzer. Hi, David. How are you doing today?
Terrific. Thanks so much for having me, January.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. After I read your resume, I am so impressed and so pleased that you were on the show. You know what we do, David? I like to start each show with you sharing with my listeners where your success story began, where you were born, who your early mentors were.
Absolutely. So I was born in Akron, Ohio, close to, of course, the great Jack Nicklaus. We had a very young age. My parents were separated and divorced, and my mom was stuck with five boys and one girl in Akron. And as a substitute teacher, there was a lot of want in my house, but not for gratitude or empathy. And my mom empowered all six of her children, including me, to be happy. And education and family were so important, how I grew up. And when I was 10 years old, my mom moved me out to California.
Uh-huh.
She figured if we were going to be broke, we might as well be in the sunshine in beautiful, sunny California,
yeah.
which I thought was genius.
Yes.
I thank her every day for moving us to California, because Ohio is a great place to be from.
Uh-huh.
And
David, my husband is an Ohio State Buckeye.
Both my parents as well. And I went to the national championship, and because
oh,
I played football at Occidental, there's not much to root for the Occidental Tigers in Division III. So I'm a pseudo Buckeye fan, and they just did a tremendous job in the draft today as well.
We have a lot in common. I had a daughter who went to Occidental too, and I don't think you could find two better schools than Ohio State or Occidental College. Actually, President Obama went there too, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and Jack Kemp and a variety of others. It's a great school, and a big fan of Occidental as well. They just don't play on Saturdays the way that Ohio State does.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit, David, about what it was like growing up in California with your four brothers and one sister and your single mom raising all of you. What did she do for a living?
She was a teacher. So it really was helpful. I don't know how she did it, taking care of all those kids during the day and then the kids at night. But one thing she did that was remarkable is she woke us all up really early. So 5 a.m., we all woke up. Her philosophy was if I woke you up early enough, you guys would be tired enough by the night to keep you all out of trouble. And it seemed to work, because my siblings all went to the Ivy League. And so I'm the only one, and because I wanted to play football, I went to Occidental. I'm the only one that didn't go to the Ivy League. My siblings were exceptional academics and still are tremendous professionals and tremendous people.
Oh, that's fantastic. So there you were in California, and your mom was a teacher. Now, when you think about your early success story, who were your first mentors? Who did you look up to? Who were the people you wanted to be like? Who did you idealize?
You know, I really recognized two types of people, and I had many mentors that were teachers, coaches, uncles that were very successful. But there were two types. One was the great athlete, and so I was attracted to great athletes, and then two, great wealth. So the great businessman, and I really searched at a young age, because I grew up with so little that I felt that all this money would make me happy, and I kind of strove for both of those: great academic success and wealth, as well as great athletic success.
And can you name any great athlete in particular that you idealized?
Oh, sure. In San Diego, it was Kellen Winslow. Most of my heroes, Hank Bauer for the San Diego Chargers. So I really idealized those guys. And then, of course, in baseball, it was Tony Gwynn, who actually was one of my coaches growing up here in San Diego. And it was just a huge blessing in my life to be so close to Tony Gwynn at such a young age.
Isn't it amazing? I know we have a grandson who is very interested in basketball, and I think it's so amazing how athletes, famous athletes, great athletes, can influence young children. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, when I ran Lee Steinberg, the largest sports agency in the world, that's one of the messages that we wanted for all of our clients. And two things we required: one was a creative foundation to give back to the community, and two, to understand the importance of whether or not you think you are one, you are a role model, and people look up to you, and they're going to emulate you, and it's a higher sense of purpose and responsibility. And if you're not willing to live up to that, then we weren't the right company to represent you.
Right. You know, now we on this show, David, we share our stories and our struggles and our secrets. And I'd like you to share that how, as a multimillionaire, you went down on a rapid spiral that ended in bankruptcy. Could you tell my listeners what that was like?
Sure. So I was very blessed in my 20s, became a multimillionaire, and in my 30s, I was CEO of the world's first smartphone. I actually wasn't in sports. I was in technology. And Samsung had manufactured the PCE phone, which was really the first, they called them convergence devices back then, but it was the first iPhone type of phone, Windows CE. And I ended up retiring in my 30s, and that was pretty much the worst thing I've ever done. I felt I've had a huge home in Rancho Santa Fe, cars, a beautiful family, and I never felt so empty in my life. And the reason was is I termed it, I became an arriver. I actually entitled myself, and I lost that gratitude and empathy. And, and we all know gratitude is thankfulness, but I lost the empathy, the empowerment of forgiveness, and I thought that I was better than I was, and I let my ego get into my way. And as a cumulative effect, I lost literally financially everything I had.
Wow. What is that like to wake up and find out that you're bankrupt?
You know, it's more than just waking up and finding out you're bankrupt. It's, you know, finding out that you're lost. And the harder part was that and how I wrote the book is what I did at the time is I went back with my wife's encouragement. Thank goodness I have her. But with my wife's encouragement, I went back to analyze how I made those millions. I went back and I looked at the different principles that I lived by, the people I surrounded myself with, the ideas that I was sharing at the time. And then I looked at where I had come into this entitlement and how I got there. And so I codified that and I used it as my guidepost and my example of how I was going to make everything back, how I was going to manifest or attract everything that I wanted again. And I could do it rapidly and accurately once I understood those principles. And as I did that and I, you know, met Lee Steinberg and became the CEO of the largest sports agency in the world and then Warren Moon and we built this tremendous company together, I decided now it's time to share my experience, my journey, my principles that I can help everyone live a life where they can have everything they want or desire rapidly and accurately. And that's why I wrote my book.
And so you realized that in order to revive and thrive, you needed to blend spirituality with business. And then you started to develop this newfound life and business outlook as CEO to sports super agent Lay Steinberg, where you along with Lay and Warren Moon negotiated over $2 billion in sports and entertainment contracts. Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
Yeah, well, it used to be, you know, now in sports, $2 million seems like an average contract for some of these entertainment and media deals. It's a tremendous amount of fun. But I think that idea of combining spirituality with the pragmatic business senses that I had. And so I started meditating. I started utilizing the power of the universe over the power of me and realizing that they're really one. And I spend the majority of my time now thinking and imagining as much as taking action. And it's really created efficiencies and statistical success in my life. And most importantly, purpose and happiness.
Oh, yeah, that's the real key to the whole thing. You know, David, we're going to take a break and hear from our wonderful sponsors. But for my listeners, when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about David serving as creative technical consultants on movie and television projects such as Jerry Maguire, Any Given Sunday, For the Love of the Game, in HBO's Arliss, which was one of my very, very favorite shows. We'll be right back with David Meltzer.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. Extraordinary People, Real Life Lessons on What It Takes to Achieve Success is a brand new book by business columnist Scott Smith with 21 profiles of famous people who achieved mega success and how they did it, providing lessons for anyone in any career. The subjects include author Anne Rice, Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, music producer Quincy Jones, and Olympic athlete Jackie Joyner-Kersee. Check out extraordinarypeoplebook.com for a sample chapter and to order. That's extraordinarypeoplebook.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone, and I want to share with our listeners that Steve Olscher and Scott Smith have both done incredible interviews with us this month, and they will be archived at iHeartRadio for your listening pleasure. Today I'm visiting with David Meltzer, and he is quite an interesting person in the sports world. Now, David, before we go on, give me your feedback. What did you think about the Super Bowl and the Deflategate controversy and all of that? Give us your thoughts.
Oh, sure. Well, I had a lot of interviews on Radio Row as far as Deflategate goes. I think Deflategate was overinflated. You know, it was something to fill the time for the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, and it was much to do about nothing.
Okay. It's wonderful talking to David because we're hearing about his experience as a super agent and getting his thoughts on Deflategate and the Super Bowl. You know, he's in addition, he's an athletic representative, and he served as creative consultant on Jerry Maguire, Any Given Sunday, For the Love of the Game, and HBO's Our List. As a result of his transformation in his remarkably successful new venture, Sports One Marketing, he began with Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. Clearly, as an established corporate leader, David is using his sports and entertainment contacts to secure lucrative endorsement deals, sponsorships, corporate equity positions, and marketing of over 100 charitable events. He is quite, I guess you would say he is the actual super agent that we all see up on the TV screens and that we hear about. You know, we're going to take another commercial break and we'll be back visiting with David Meltzer.
Where does all the money go? Surely you should have more to show for all the work you do. And what about the future? Heck, what about next week? Chris Miles to the rescue. Chris is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur with a reputation of getting his clients fast, life-altering results right now, not 25 to 40 years from now. Let Chris Miles show you how to quickly free up and create more cash flow with results you can enjoy today, not tomorrow. Visit MoneyRipples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. Visit today, not tomorrow. With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. The Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine. Certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive, she brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channel journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
I'm also pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is now available at audiblebooks.com. Also, Money Ripple's Chris Miles did a fabulous interview with us, and Carolyn Green will be on the show later this month, and all these interviews, as today's interview, will be archived at iHeartRadio.com. We're back with David Meltzer, and we've been talking about an overview of all the different football things that have happened this year. Give us quickly your overview of the Super Bowl. I love the halftime show myself.
So did my daughters. I thought the Super Bowl was wonderful. It's a huge, huge event. It's the most people that ever watched any TV show here in the United States on TV. It was sold out. The ticket prices were out of control, above and beyond the value of the tickets. But it is a spectacle for everyone to see in some sort of media, and the energy. And what made it great to me is here you had what I consider the two best coaches in football battling it out with different players in different situations. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it came down to the last second with one yard to go. And what more could you ask for a Super Bowl?
Oh, you know, many years ago, we owned a tennis club in California, and we used to host a Super Bowl party for all of our members. And it was fabulous, except that usually by halftime, everyone would go home, because pretty much the game was over. And what I loved about this Super Bowl is you had to wait there till the last second. Wasn't that fantastic?
It was exactly what football should be. And yes, absolutely entertaining, fantastic. Whether you love in the intricacies and the student of the sport or just the event and fiesta of the sport, everyone enjoyed that game and everyone was excited up until that last interception.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, I adored the halftime show, and what I love most about it, it was almost like the opening of the Olympics, and it was so appropriate for family television. We watched it with our entire family, and it was just fantastic. Now, David, quickly give me a little comment on the national championship. Of course, I'm over the top because Ohio State won. Did you think, was that a surprise? Were you shocked that they won?
January, he dropped again.
Okay, now let's go to another commercial.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com. Let me ask you a question. Are you still wondering who killed Kennedy? Over 50 years later, the assassination is still a mystery. It is unfinished business for our country. Now, get ready for a theory that you've never heard before, but will make more sense than any other conspiracy theory that you've ever heard in the past. January Jones speaks the unspeakable in her book, Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle, connecting Jackie and Aristotle Onassis romantically prior to JFK's assassination. Did you know that Ari was Jackie's guest in the White House during the JFK funeral? He was the only non-family member who was invited by Jackie to stay there during the funeral. Aristotle Onassis was one of the wealthiest men in the world, with the means, the motive, and the money to order an assassination that was the perfect crime of the last century. Ari needed class, and Jackie needed cash. They were perfect for each other. Now, what is Camelot? It is but another tragic love triangle. Jackie, Ari, and Jack is available at JanuaryJones.com, Amazon.com, and Audiobooks.com, read by Ms. Jones. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play in well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
I just wanted to share with you that the authors of One Door Closes, Tom and Gracia and Jared Kraminski, will be on the show later this month. And AATH is an organization that I belong to. It's one that I promote every chance I get. And their president, Mary Kay Morrison, will be visiting with us, and we will be highlighting one of her outstanding members at AATH. Today we're back with David Meltzer, and let's go back, David, to the national championship. I thought it was fantastic. What did you think about it?
You know, I went to the game, and a huge Ohio State fan, so I thought it was obviously terrific. The weird thing was, for me, that stadium, I sat in a very good seat in the middle of the field, but I found myself watching the TV because it's so big, that monitor, instead of watching the game. I had to force myself sometimes to watch the live action, because the TV was so tremendous. I felt like all these people paid all this money just to watch a big TV.
Well, that makes me feel good, because, you know, for the show, for that game, my husband rented a 6x6 foot screen, and we had about 30 people here watching it in our family room. And it's the bigger the better, as far as that goes, when it comes to a national championship. Now, let me ask you a question, David. Tell me, do you think that sports figures who are on or near the field should react to political events such as the recent non-indictments of police? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's a difficult thing, because I think everyone that's a citizen here in America could comment or speak about that. The problem is that we all speak in authority, and sometimes the people that are speaking out as an authority because they play football don't necessarily have the most enlightened ideas, and they sometimes proliferate ignorance, which then incites other difficulties and other problems and creates an opposite reaction that really is one from a positive point of view. So I think there is, like I said before, a responsibility of these athletes to understand power, that they are role models, and that they also have a responsibility to stay quiet at times if they don't necessarily know what they're talking about, especially if they're going to incite some sort of reaction that may not be one of positive reaction for everyone.
Yeah, and it's probably not appropriate. Now, give me your thoughts on these athletes who express their feelings via social media or during a game, which is unbelievable to me. What do you think about that?
Me too. I think that's almost offensive. That you look, you have to be part of the game, 100% focused on the game. You know, we train our athletes to make sure that you never just press send, let alone utilize social media in any way during your work. I mean, it would be as if you were a lawyer during a deposition, tweeting people about the deposition. It's just inappropriate, unprofessional, and has no place on a sideline or during a game. And I think there'll be some more rules and penalties and fines to make sure it doesn't happen.
Oh, I hope so, because I've got grandkids who are becoming young athletes. And every time I look at them, they're tweeting and they've got their iPhones. And I just want to say enough and put it away, not during a game. It just takes away from it. Now, what's your thought about the outcry about Adrian Peterson's violence? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think what he did was horrendous, and there are no excuses for child abuse. And then on the other side of it, when we make mistakes, I think everyone here deserves a second chance after you paid your price to society and to the league and to your teammates, et cetera. So, you know, there's no defense. Ignorance is not a defense for abusing children or women, and it never will be for me. But on the other side, I am a person who gives everyone a second chance, and that when we make mistakes, there's punishment for those mistakes. Now, second and third time abusers, I have much harsher opinion of, and I'm not sure that my theory of second chances applies to second and third time people.
Okay. And I know you're an agent for athletes, and regardless of the message, should the athlete's right of expression in public be more acceptable than some team owners' private comments, which I think are never acceptable?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, and you have to be careful with both. But yeah, the team owners are never acceptable. And, you know, different comments. And unfortunately, what's happening in sports because of the growth and the interest worldwide in sports is that all these things used to happen on the back porch. And then over the last two decades, they became the front porch, right? We had all these different mediums. Now, not only are these words, actions, speeches, social, all these things on the front porch, but they're broadcasted real time across the world. And so there's these new rules, regulations, and responsibilities that we're right now in a transition, and we're going to learn the appropriate way to most empower our athletes and our children to do the right thing. Because I think, from my experience, the majority of these players are exceptional human beings. You don't get to the place where you're at without being an exceptional human being. And unfortunately, a few young men who make these horrendous mistakes now become the norm instead of the exception.
Yeah, and it's not really a good example for our children or for our country. Now, David, let me ask you about charities and photo ops. Is this a good thing for society that sports figures sponsor and support these charities and do these photo ops? How do you feel about that?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and they do, the majority of the athletes, their social responsibility for the blessings and gifts that the sports have given them is to give back to their community and to these charities. And because, you know, if you take Evander Holyfield, for example, who, you know, we represented at Lee's, when he does the PSA that real men don't hit women, that goes a long way.
Long way,
rather hear from Evander Holyfield than Dave Meltzer.
And you know what? If you've ever been to a game, it means so much to these kids when these athletes acknowledge them from the field, give them an autograph, heck, just touch their hand. It's a very exciting thing for young people, isn't it?
It certainly is. And, you know, being one of those kids, that it meant so much to me anytime I, you know, got one autograph or one piece of attention from my heroes, that was something that I tried to instill and still do in all of our athletes, is that do not lose perspective of why and where you came from, and that we were all kids one day. And the reason you're here is you admired somebody else that was standing on this field. And the day you lose that gratitude and empathy and not give the attention to those kids that you literally can change their life. If you have time, I can give you a quick story about that. When I was 12 years old, I was a ball boy for the San Diego Clippers. And the first thing that I did, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar treated me like trash. And I came home crying to my mom, and I told her I wanted to quit. And she said, this was your dream to be a ball boy. You're not quitting. I went back the next game. Dr. J was there. And instead of calling me boy and bossing me around, he put that large hand on my back. And he said, son, is there anything I can do for you? Would you like a pair of my socks? Can I sign that? And I came home, and I'm fortunate enough to be really close friends with Julius. And I told him, you know, as a 40-something-year-old man, how much that meant to me. And I still remember that story. And as we became close friends and bonded, I told him, you were just the guy that understood how much you could change and inspire a 12-year-old by taking the time and being kind instead of being an arrogant asshole.
Okay. And thank you. Thank you, dear, for sharing. That's a very special story to share. And it's amazing what it will do to crush a child or to inspire them. And it's how they're treated by these famous, famous celebrities. Now, David, tell us about what you think society can learn from the team aspect of sports, such as setting aside race, religion, nationality for the betterment of the team. Now, this is something we see done in the military. We have a lot of veterans who come on the show and they talk about the brotherhood of the military. Is this something that we can get from team sports too?
Absolutely. So as we strengthen our connection to goodness or God or Buddha or Jesus, Muhammad, whatever our separate differences are with the same purpose or cause, when we have a collective belief and we all work towards that collective belief together as one, and then we bring together all these other people, coaches and fans, and then other people outside of the community, they all feel as one. This camaraderie, this effort, this purpose for a better, higher, a higher purpose is definitely what makes team sports the best of all sports and the best of us. And when you watch those two teams, all of them both were so well coached in the Super Bowl that played as a team. And you also look at the national championship with Urban Meyer, it's his team, and Oregon, of course. These are four teams that represent why these sports are so tremendous and why we're all attracted and it resonates with us, is that everyone does their own job for the purpose of all. And you know, 100 guys on that sideline. And I think it's wonderful and beautiful and inspirational to watch.
Well, you know, Urban Meyer is like a saint in our household. And what a fantastic coach and what a great example. And it's so neat because you see these young guys out on there and they're out as a team. They don't care what race you are. They don't care what religion you are. They don't care what nationality you are. All they want to do is win as a team. And I think that's what America's all about. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Anything that brings us together instead of separates us by our differences is what America is meant to be. We are one, united, and free.
Now, how do we transform this team goodness, this team experience into a collective belief? How do we get that out to everyone, David?
You know, that's my personal mission. I believe, you know, at one time in my life, my mission was to empower others. And then I got stuck because that's really not the way to create a collective belief or significant change. And so what we need to do is take it a step beyond. We need to empower others to empower others. So what we share, we need to teach others to share. And it's more than just pay it forward ourselves. It's we need to encourage and inspire others to pay it forward. Because if I can inspire 100 people, but moreover, teach them to inspire 100 people, and they inspire 100 people, that's how a collective belief is formed, and that's how we can create significant change and live in a better world in a more enlightened environment.
You sound like you have a passion, and I certainly agree with you because I know I have a passion for sharing success stories. Before we go on, we have to talk about your book. We haven't even gotten there yet, but we will get there. Could you share... your book is Connected to Goodness, and I know it's written with passion. Could you share for my listeners how they can get their book and where your website is?
Absolutely. It's available in Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, also at my website, which is connectedtogoodness.com, and available at all three places. Would love for anyone to read it and give me their feedback.
Oh, terrific. And now, David, what prompted you to write this book, and how long did it take you to write it?
You know, it's an accumulation of a series of, started as a sales training called Five to Thrive that was a spiritual sales training, and it took me about a year to write. And, you know, I was passionate about codifying how this pragmatic businessman had lost everything and what inspired and how I, you know, really shifted my vision. I changed the way I looked at things, so the things I looked at changed. And I created a way that, and this is best to explain my book, I know that consciously we can think about what we want, and then the minute we consciously think about it, it becomes a possibility. I then create these principles, foundation, guideposts, and manifestation to go from possibility to being inspired. And once we become inspired about ideas, it becomes a probability. And then from a probability, I give you pragmatic principles of discipline, strategy, and understanding so that it becomes your reality or your perspective. So in essence, you can have or manifest anything you desire rapidly and accurately simply by starting to think about it, get inspired, and take action to get it.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of my mantras, and I share this on the show so often with my listeners, and it's, if you think it, then you can do it. And this show is all about success. Could you define for my listeners your vision of success for our listeners?
I believe success is being happy on your journey. So I believe all the things that happen to us, challenges, what others may call failures and successes, to me are all successive events, which are all successes. So changing that attitude and your aptitude for these successes and enjoying the journey, whether it has outcomes that you have attached to or not, or you expect it or not, everything in my life is a success. And when things get more challenging for me, I've actually shifted my perspective that I get more excited about it because I know something really good is going to happen.
And you share that you want people to use their time efficiently and effectively. And that's sometimes hard for me to do. I can be effective, but sometimes I'm not so efficient. What's your advice on that topic?
So yeah, I use and self-analyze every morning and every night kind of this efficiency and effectiveness. So I look at things and say to myself, you know, how long is it taking me to do things that I do hourly, daily, weekly, or monthly? And I start with the most frequent things that I do, like every day I brush my teeth or get ready. I look at that and see how can I save time or be more efficient with that, and then practice that so that I become more efficient. Because if I can save, for example, 2 minutes every day just from brushing my teeth, right? That's 14 minutes in a week. And it might sound funny, but it's 56 minutes a month. It's an hour a month. It's 12 hours a year just from being more efficient on how I brush my teeth. And so I started looking at all those different things, and maybe a little bit OCD, but I think it's really, really effective way to spend more time with my kids and doing things that I love to do instead of things that I must do, like brushing my teeth.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? My favorite thing that you suggest is wake up early. And I'm a proponent of wake up early. I'm a morning person, and I like to do that. But sometimes, what do you think about this? I wake up in the middle of the night. It's 3 or 4. I can't sleep. And guess what I do? I get up and go and do something on the computer. And then within an hour or two, I'm back in bed. I think that when you're awake, you should be awake. Don't you agree?
I love that. Yeah, you know, I wake up every morning at 4, and I try to go to bed by 11. So, but I get that. I think, you know, that you need to, and I used to sit and just waste my time early in the morning. And I wake up, I meditate, I go to the gym, I get and help my wife get ready for all the 4 kids that I have to get ready for school. And I believe if you can train yourself to still get real deep sleep, but to wake up early, you will get so much more done in that quiet focus time from 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. the rest of the day to mine.
Well, you know, I agree, because I think during the night, that's when the energy from the universe is flowing. And I think if you have any creative aspirations or ideas, that's pretty much the time when it'll all come through to you. You know, this has been fantastic having you on the show. I actually, David, have to have you back because I want to hear more about what it was like working on Jerry Maguire and the movies you did. And also, we have so many things to talk about from your wonderful book, Connected to Goodness. Now, if you are interested in reading this book, go to Amazon.com. You can access it there. And then also go to David's website. And David, would you get that information out again about your website?
Sure. It's connected to goodness.com, connected to goodness.com.
Okay. And I certainly do hope you'll come back and visit with us again.
I would love to anytime, Danielle. What a pleasure. I'd love to see.
Well, you know, this is interesting for my listeners. David is a sports agent, and I did not even share with him today that I am a competitor in the World Series of Golf, and that I probably need a super agent myself. So maybe when he comes back, I can lock that one down. Thank you to David Meltzer and to my wonderful listeners. We hope you've enjoyed our show today. Hasn't it been interesting? My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like David. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show or advertise with us, just send an email to info@januaryjones.com. We really love sharing our stories and our struggles and our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest today, David Meltzer. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Serantos.
Hi, Serantos here with January. Check out my new smooth R&B song called Back and Forth. 33% of profits for this song are going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Lately, I hear the melody.